don't you hold to God's unchanging hand? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging. Let's sing it one time with hold to God's unchanging word. Hold to God's unchanging word. Hold to God's unchanging word. Build your hopes on things eternal. Just hold to God's unchanging word. Amen. Well, I really enjoyed being with you during these Easter meetings, and I know you really enjoyed the service this morning. My, I told Brother Ron that was the best Easter message I ever heard in my life. That was just, you know what it was? Really, it was a climaxing message. It was like a climaxing message of the convention, and I thought we should just say amen and go back to our homes. So that's all I'm going to say to this evening, basically, is amen. So what can you say after a message like that? However, we have two more meetings, and I trust that I'll be able to say something tonight that will just encourage you. Just really, I believe the bride needs encouragement. And I just trust the Lord will help me to say something that will encourage you to love the Lord and press the battle to the end. We're going to remain standing as we turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19, we'll start with verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He had a few things against him. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not for the press, because he was a little of stature, and he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Then they that saw it all murmured. You've always got somebody that's going to complain about something. They murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. One more verse in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, I feel like the boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I believe it was, just a little lunch. But Lord, in his hands, it wasn't much. But Lord, once in the master's hand, it fed 5,000. Father, I'm not saying that, Lord, but you know how I feel this evening. And I'm asking, Lord, that you'll anoint your unworthy servant, that you will come and multiply the bread and feed your people the word of God, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may take the comfort of your seats. Somebody laughed. I say that in our church. When I say that, we have hard benches, and I say, you may take the comfort of your seats. They would like me to, because I'm an upholsterer, they'd like me to upholster them. I want to take my text out of verse 19 there. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I want to deal with redemption this evening. You know, really the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation deals with redemption. The first thing that we read in Genesis 3:3, when Adam and Eve fell, was God coming down in the cool of the day, crying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Amen. Calling for his lost son. Don't you think that God knew where Adam was? God knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was, that he was lost, and that he needed redemption. So God provided a covering for their nakedness. God slew a lamb and covered their naked bodies with skin, but the skin only covered their naked bodies, but the blood covered their sin. Yes, God supplying redemption. So this evening, I want to tie redemption and predestination together. How many here believe in predestination? I've got myself in trouble preaching on predestination. People actually call me a legalist preacher. But my first revelation was predestination, was grace, grace, grace. So Paul said, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were predestinated unto the adoption. And I love preaching on predestination. It's one of my favorite subjects. We read here in 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God is not redeeming someone that doesn't belong to him. Amen. Redemption means to buy back, to recover, to rescue, to make amends for. If I run out of voice, I'm going to call on Brother Ron tonight. Oh, Brother Kyle, okay. Somebody better stand, because I've got a runny nose, I've got my throat is sore, and you pray for me. Here I'm supposed to give it my best shot. So let me say it again. God is not redeeming someone that he doesn't know, that doesn't belong to him. Redemption means to buy back, to recover, to rescue, to make amends for, to atone for, to set free, to liberate, to deliver from sin. And when Jesus said in Luke 19, where we read that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Jesus was specifically referring to a son of Abraham, to a seed of Abraham, better yet, to a seed of God. Amen. Jesus, speaking to Zacchaeus, how do you say it here? Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus? Help myself? Okay, I'll just say Zacchaeus. Jesus, speaking to Zacchaeus, said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Amen. Jesus was talking about somebody that already belonged to God, that was being bought back, brought back to the fold, because the whole world was lost. But the Son of Man ministry is to recover, is to rescue, is to set free, is to buy back. Not just 2,000 years ago, the Son of Man ministry today is to bring back those that were his, that were lost. Redemption, redeem is to redeem what's already God's to begin with, which belongs to him. So now, God did not start thinking about redemption when Adam and Eve fell. You know, you and I always wait till a crisis arises, and then say, what do I do? What do I do? God did not start thinking about redemption when Adam and Eve fell. He already had a plan in place. The Bible said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had a threefold purpose in his mind, in the back of his mind, before the foundation of the world that we talked about the other night. In Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham takes us back before God was even God and tells us what God was thinking in the back part of his mind. that God wanted to reveal himself to man, but it would be, he couldn't as the Almighty God. It would be too mysterious. So God devised a threefold plan. And first, the first was to become man. Amen. To redeem, so that he could redeem man. And the second part was to for God to indwell man, to gain total preeminence in his bride. So all that was in Christ was poured into a many-membered bride to restore us back to our original position. All this was in the mind of God eons before man ever fell. The whole plan of God from before the foundation of the world was redemption. And so the process of redemption is still going on right now. The scripture said, Paul writing to the Romans said, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. We referred to that the other night. So we know that we are now in the time of adoption. Do you preachers preach that? We are now in the time of adoption, and the final stage of adoption is the body change, the redemption of our bodies. Even when the rapture takes place, I want to just drop this in. Even when the rapture takes place, redemption is still not over. It just closes the door to the Gentiles. But this same eagle anointing will go over to the Jews for redemption of the 144,000 under those two prophets. Amen. Amen. God knows them. God knows them that are his. God knows exactly how many will be redeemed of the Jews. Not one more, not one less, but it'll be exactly 144,000. Amen. Those there, nobody can have an accident and die. They must be there when those two prophets arise on the scene. So all the scripture said, not all. Now, not as though that the word of God has not taken effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. So not all Israel is going to be saved, but 144,000. God knows them that are his. Redemption is only for the elect. We don't know who the elect are. Some people are more spiritual than Brother Branham. They seem to know who's elect and who isn't elect. But we don't know who's elect and who isn't, but God does. How many believe God knows that? Amen. Amen. Who's this Melchizedek? Watch what Brother Bam said. It shows plainly the predestinated is the only ones that's considered in redemption. Yes. Did you get it? Let me say it again. The predestinated is the only ones that's considered in redemption. People might make like they are, but the real redemption is for those that are predestinated. Because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? To redeem something, to redeem anything is to bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah. So it's only for the predestined. So it's only the predestinated that will be brought back. Then he makes the statement, because the others didn't come from there. Hallelujah. Christ did not come to redeem serpent seed. Amen. They are not his to begin with. God had a plan and at the beginning and a purpose, and God's purpose can never be defeated. Let me read another quote here. Why Christ speak? The very purpose that Jesus came to earth was to save those that God through his foreknowledge knew and seen that wanted to be saved. Because the whole world was condemned. I don't see how you can teach it any other way than the foreknowledge of God. The Bible plainly says that he knows the end from the beginning. He could tell it. Therefore, when a person tries to be something that they're not, they're only making an impersonation. Sooner or later, you'll be found out. Your sins will find you out. There's only one covering for sin. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ. And it cannot be applied unless God has called you from the foundation of the world. Amen. Many, All the evangelical churches, you know, they sing about the blood. They sing about the blood. They talk about the blood. But the blood cannot even be applied, the prophet said, unless God called you from the foundation of the world. Amen. That's what the blood was shed for. Not to be trampled upon, to make fun of, evil spoken of. It was for the direct purpose, not to be played with, not to be impersonated and say your sins are covered when they're not. No man can have his sins covered unless his name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father draws him, and all that the Father hath given me, past tense, will come to me. Hallelujah. So God will redeem all his attributes. God knows how many children were in his family album before the foundation of the world. God knows exactly. God made his family album before the foundation of the world, Brother Bram said, and took a picture of you when you were at your best. I tell our church, I didn't always used to look this ugly. Some of you are laughing. Some of you have changed a bit too. But God took a picture of you when you were at your best and put it in his family album, put your name there. You and I have to wait till our children are born before we can make our family album. Amen. I thought I had my family album finished. But I started a new one again. You see, but God made his family album before the foundation of the world, took a picture of you, and put your name there. God is not mixed up as to about his offspring, who they are. He knows them all by name. Hallelujah. Today there are millions of people that call themselves Christians, even that call themselves spirit-filled Christians. But Jesus said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to read from Matthew, where he talks about that. Matthew. Oh, no. Matthew 7, sorry. Not everyone that saith unto me, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? These were not old Catholics or Presbyterians. These were prophets, people that believed in prophecy. In thy name cast out devils? Sounds like a Pentecostal. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And what is the reply? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Oh, isn't that strange? I thought he knew everything. He said, I never knew you. I'm hesitating for a reason to catch your attention. I never even knew you. Doesn't he know everything? Doesn't he know the end from the beginning? Doesn't he know how many gnats there'll be on earth? How many times they'll blink their eye? The prophet said, and how much tallow they'll make? So it must be a different kind of knowing. And Adam knew his wife. Ah, amen. You never received my seed. You refused my seed word. You never knew me. I never knew you. You never received my seed word. You refused my word. If I'm allowed to quote from Marriage and Divorce, some people don't like to quote from Marriage and Divorce because they don't believe Marriage and Divorce. I believe what the prophet taught about it. But anyway, Brother Bannum talking about the church refusing Christ here in Marriage and Divorce, he said, notice, he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. He did it. He proved it in the days of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost when they refused to become a further part of him by having spiritual sexual affair. Don't freeze up on me. I'm quoting your prophet. By having a spiritual sexual affair to become pregnated with further part of the word. Never stop in the first pull. Never stop in the second pull. Move on to the opening of the word. They refuse to become pregnant with further part of the word. You understand? Lutheran Church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. Let me say something. You know, if you want to call me something anyway, he said. So is it with every one of them. They fail to take that word. They refuse Christ. I never knew you. They refuse Christ. Any woman that refused a man a child has no right to be wife to him. Amen. You remember in the Bible when the king married Esther because the queen refused, he got him another one. That's what happened when she refused to come out and obey him. The same thing with a woman that refuses to be wife to her husband. And so is it with the church that refuses to become pregnated in the age that we are now living in to bring forth children of this age. This age. We are not Lutherans. We are not Wesleyans. Neither are we Pentecostals. We've got to be the children of this age through the pregnancy of the Word of God to bring forth a child of this age, a seed child. I hope you understand. Couldn't be pregnated. So what did he do? He put her away in divorcement. Hallelujah. So it wasn't that Jesus, when he said, I never knew you, it wasn't that he wasn't aware of them. He was very much aware of them. He spoke about them. They had taken part in a Holy Ghost ministry, Pentecostal experience, prophesied, cast out devils. Did we just read it? Maybe a worldwide television ministry. But he knew about them, and he prophesied about them, and just like he did in Matthew 24, I'm just going to turn to that, Matthew 24, verse 23, very familiar scriptures, but I want to tie this in. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, run after it. That's what too many in the message do. As soon as somebody says, our group, we got a special revelation. Oh, I better run. Don't run. The Bible said, don't run. When they say, don't believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say, behold, he's in the desert, go after it. I'm glad you're listening. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, our little group. Believe it not, for as the lightning lighteneth out of one end of heaven, from the east, and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is not talking about rapture. This is talking about the universal awakening. The message going around the world, as the lightning lightened from the east, shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Let me just make a few statements on that. If they say, we've got it here, don't go. If they say, it's only in our group, we have a special revelation, don't go. Amen. It's our church. Don't go. What God would do would not be in one isolated place. I find that when I'm preaching something back home and I bring a brother in from overseas, they'll pick up sometimes the same scripture that I've just used. Amen. And lay out the same thing. What God is revealing to me, he's revealing to them. He's revealing to you here. Hallelujah. Amen. If they say we've got it here, our group, amen, don't go. Let me just say this. This message will never be a special group, an isolated group. This message will never have a headquarters. Brother Branham said, our headquarters, my headquarters is in heaven. Amen. The gathering is not around a man. The gathering is not around the ministry. Did you hear that one? The gathering is around food. Where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. So Jesus knew about them. He gave much warning about them, but they were not foreknown. They were not foreknown by him. They were not his attributes. They were not his seed. Hallelujah. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Hallelujah. I want to read out of Ephesians 1 and 4 and 5. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I want to make a statement. And if you don't agree with me, I'm doing my best. Because this is a little tricky here. Predestination goes beyond just foreknowledge. Many people will say, I believe God foreknew. But when you start preaching predestination, they start freezing up. Predestination and election to me goes beyond just God knowing. God purposed, the Bible said. Not only did he foreknow, but he purposed, he elected, he predestinated. Amen. Let me read out of Romans 9 and verse 11. If you want to turn with me, that's fine. Romans 9 and 11. I don't give you much time to turn though. For the children, watch this. God had a purpose here. Not just foreknowing, he purposed. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, neither boy having even been born yet. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. What shall we say to then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith in Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 16. So then it is not him that willeth, or nor him that runneth, but God that shows mercy. I am so thankful for God's grace in my life. Amen, amen. If he never does one more thing for me, I just want to praise him all the days of my life for his grace, for his grace, for his grace. The fall in the Garden of Eden never disrupted God's purpose. It worked right into his plan. Now the question might come up, what part do we play in redemption? Very easy answer, none. Redemption is 100% the plan of God. Hallelujah. What part did Eve play in her redemption? None. Brother Branham said, Adam knew that if he didn't step in, she would be lost. The prophet said she should have been burnt along with her seducer. How many know he said that? She should have been burnt along with her seducer, but Adam intervened, taking her quickly to himself. He went into death with her. That's just like Christ did. Amen. Adam intervened and became her redeemer. Hallelujah. God is so great. You know, I found this. God is so great, when you first get saved, he actually lets you think that you had something to do with it. You stopped smoking. You did this and you did that. Then when you get a little bit more mature, then he lets you know that it's 100% God's grace. It had nothing to do with you whatsoever. God softened you up. I mean, you say, well, my free will came into that plan. Brother Band, I read that quote to you. God knew that when he put you on free will, free moral agency, it would take you away from God. No man can come unto me except my Father draws him first. Hallelujah. God, in order to show his great attribute of Redeemer, allowed the fall to take place. Because it was in God. It was in God, the eternal spirit, to be a savior. It was in him to be a redeemer. It was in him to be a healer. It was in him to be a father. It was in him to be a comforter. The fall, let me say it like this, only magnified God and brought to light all the attributes that were in God. Sometimes I get preaching and I forget why I'm uncomfortable. Good water. Anybody want some water? Did you remember my last statement? The fall only magnified God and brought to light all his great attributes. Here's a quote that I need to share with you out of the Ephesian church age. Now the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the world, of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. Then he quotes Ephesians, God has chosen us, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now he said, but that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way God manifests in the flesh. This was part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. Now, this plan was to the praise and glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen close, and I want you to catch this part here now. God being a savior, it was necessary. You need to catch this. This is tremendous. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man that would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. You and I are giving God reason and purpose of being. Hallelujah. I just trust, you know, why do we give God purpose of being? Because how could he be a savior if there was nobody lost? How could he be a healer if there's nobody sick? How could he be a deliverer if there's nobody ever in bondage? No matter how deep you were in sin, no matter how deep you were in sin and filth, drugs or immorality, if you were one of the God's seed, he will redeem you. If your name was on that book, it doesn't matter how filthy you were. Amen. The depths of sin that you fell into has nothing to do with it. I said I'm going to say something to try to encourage you. The devil is a real beater. He'll beat you to death with something that you was in your past that you have repented for. God doesn't even remember it, like our brother was saying. But God's already, you see, what is he talking about? But the devil will try to bring up your past, But the depths of sin you fell into has nothing to do with it whatsoever. God has purposed in himself to redeem all his attributes that were on his book because they are a part of him, just like your children are a part of you. But you see, we have a tendency, I want to bring some examples here. We have a tendency to write somebody off because of the degree of sin that they might have been in. You know, just like when they say, oh, he's going to eat with a sinner. And he's rich. You know, that spirit still, that we get, because God has done something for us, cleaned us up, we sometimes forget what we were. You know, we tend to write somebody off because of the degree of sin they were in. You know, let me give you some examples. Maybe a woman raised in a religious setting, maybe even in the message, and she sleeps around, not that kind of sleeping, and commits adultery, married and divorced, maybe married 2-3 times. Well, our righteous indignation would rise up right quick and say, well, there's no way she could be a seed of God. Right? Wrong. Wrong. What about the woman at the well? Have you ever read about the woman at the well? had five husbands. Now she was shacked up with somebody that wasn't her husband. Amen. When the light for her day flashed across her pathway, it quickened that seed gene of God that lay inside of her. What about Rahab the harlot? Amen. When the light for that day, when she recognized the word for her day, that what God was doing, she actually became part of the very lineage of Jesus Christ. Read it in Matthew. She became part of the lineage. What would you say about somebody that denied the Lord? Oh, my, we would say that he's finished. Somebody that denied the Lord and walked away from the word, we would just quickly judge him and say, he walked away from the word? He is finished. Right? Wrong. That was Peter. Peter, after knowing the Lord, after walking with him, amen, after preaching, being part of divine healing campaigns, amen, amen, when push came to shove, he said, I don't know him. 1, 2, 3 times cock-a-doodle-doo. Amen. He denied the Lord and he cursed. Amen. But well, I can just see those eyes of the great Messiah meeting his eyes, and he shrinks away and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. And Jesus, knowing how crushed he was after the resurrection, gave Peter a special invitation. Knowing how discouraged he was, he said in Matthew 16, he says, go tell my disciples and Peter. Hallelujah, that I'm going to Galilee. He told Peter, he said, before that, he said, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. Remember the same one that prayed for Peter, prayed for you and I. Hallelujah. He became, Brother Bram said, God, Jesus made him the head of the church. A man that denied, amen, amen, and gave him the keys to the kingdom. What would you say about somebody, I got a few more here before we move on. What would you say about somebody that planned the murder of a friend so that he could marry his wife who he had already pregnated? Oh, I know what we would think. We would quickly say, serpent seed. We get so in righteous indignation, you know. Serpent seed. That was King David. After he was anointed by the prophet. Yes? Amen? But you see, one day, as he thought he'd got away with everything, knock on the door. Opens the door. Nathan, the prophet, steps in. Oh, come on in, my brother. Sit down, sit down, sit down. He said, I got a story to tell you. Oh, I love stories. You know all the Psalms I've written? I love stories. Love stories. He said, well, there was a man that had 100 sheep. Oh, yeah, yeah. He must have been successful. Yes, a successful man. And he said another one had just one sheep. And this man that had the 100 sheep went and when he got a friend come over from a long distance away and he wanted to make a dinner for him, instead of taking one of his many 100 sheep, he went and took that one man's one sheep. And David himself got mad and got red around the neck. He said, that man's going to pay for us with his life. He said, you're the man. But David was a good repenter. He did not do like the other kings, you know, and try to kill that prophet. Amen. He was a good repenter. He was a man after God's own heart. I believe what made him a man after God's own heart was because he was, when he done wrong, he repented. Hallelujah. What would you say about somebody that was a blasphemer? Came against the message, persecuted the church, imprisoned men and women? That was Paul. Amen. He said he was a blasphemer, persecuting the saints to death. God not only redeemed him when he met the pillar of fire, You know the pillar of fire is still here. The pillar of fire didn't leave when the prophet left. Brother Brown said, this time, the pillar of fire will take us right into the millennium. Hallelujah. When he met the pillar of fire and was filled with the Holy Ghost, God not only saved Paul, who was a blasphemer, not only saved him, called him to preach the gospel, not only that, but made him the messenger to the first church age, amen, and called him to separate law from grace. Amen. And Paul had such authority that he said, if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than what I preach, let him be accursed. Everything that you and I believe has to line up with what Paul taught. Even Brother Branham, beyond the curtain of time, he said, will Paul be judged? Will Peter be judged? He said, I spoke every word that Paul preached. Hallelujah. Never, why am I saying all these things? Never judge a person by the depths of sin that they were in, by the degree of sin that they've been guilty of. It's what he or she does with the light that comes across their pathway that shows who they really are. One thing I believe we need, more grace with one another in this message. It's a good time to speak this because there's different groups together here. We need more grace with one another. We tend to write off everyone that doesn't see the message exactly the way we see it. I mean, we've been guilty. We tend to write off everyone that doesn't see the message just exactly the way we do. God, I want to say this, God has opened your eyes to more truth. God has opened your eyes to more truth, the things that you didn't used to see. God can do the same thing with the other brother. Let God decide. Let God be the judge who's elect and who isn't elect. God must and will redeem all of his attributes, regardless of the degree of sin that they were in. That gives me hope. Hallelujah. I don't like talking about my past, and so I won't. But just let you know this. When the songwriter said, when he reached down his hand for me, when I first got saved, I always sing it like this. When he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. But God must and will redeem all of his attributes because they're a part of him. Look at the earth. Look at the earth, the planet, the filth that's on it. Crime, murder, rape, homosexuals, pedophiles, corrupt governments. Of course, not in New Zealand, but corrupt governments. Look at the dirty slums and the in the big cities, drugs and all this nonsense that's going on. Yet because the earth is an attribute of God, the earth is a spoken word of God, God will completely redeem this earth. Amen. In the same three stages that he redeemed you, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he already baptized it in the days of Noah. He dropped his blood on it, sanctified, dropped his blood on it when Christ was here. Amen. And it will receive a fiery baptism that'll burn every bit of sin and dirt off of it. Hallelujah. Completely change it, in so much that the Bible said in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. It wasn't annihilated, Brother Brad said. Passed away meant it was changed. Amen. The same like you and I. We passed away. We died. We were changed. The Bible says, the prophet speaking here rather in souls that are in prison, the scripture plainly says, tells us that we are dead and our lives are hid in Christ, in God through Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't your body died. Now this is not a special revelation. Somebody used this quote to bring a special doctrine. I'm not bringing no special doctrine. All right? It wasn't your body died. It wasn't your spirit that died. It was the nature of your spirit that died. Hallelujah. The nature which is the soul. Now I want you to notice something here. The nature of your soul is God If you are born again, the nature of your soul is God. Oh, I trust that you'll remember some of these quotes. The nature of your soul is God. So then when you see somebody walking down the street thinking they're somebody with a little education, just remember they're just a clod of Indiana dust. Some little education. I tell our people this. I said, that if God give you a degree to make a better living, thank God for it. But please leave that degree outside the door when you come to church. It won't do you a lick of good in the message as far as the revelation goes. Hallelujah. He said, a woman that's all dressed in shorts and smoking cigarettes, carrying down the street, twisting like she owns the country, it's a clod of Indiana dust. That's what it's turning back to. So we're not very much to begin with. That's what you are. But the soul in there, see, that soul is what God is working on. If he can get that nature of that spirit to agree with him, then that nature dies, and the nature and the love of the world dies, and the things of the world is dead, because if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. A man must be born again, so that this nature has to die. The nature of God comes and lives in you. That old nature has had to die. You know, death is a hard thing. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The trouble with a living sacrifice is it can move. Amen. That old nature has to die. And if you're born again, the nature of your soul is God. What a tremendous statement. The nature. How many are born again here? The nature of your soul is God. God does not hold a person responsible because he's a sinner, because God knew you were born in sin with a sinful nature. Brother Bam said, God is not going to hold a man responsible. Why Christ speak? Because he's a sinner, because he's born a sinner. What God holds a man responsible for is because he remains a sinner. I was so glad to hear there was some baptism. Somebody took a stand. Hallelujah! But what God holds, because he remains a sinner, he don't have to remain a sinner. There is a provision made for his justification through Jesus Christ. You know, I so often we blame our parents for our temperaments. You all know all about temperaments, Brother Harold Beckett's been here. You know, don't blame your old nature on your parents. Well, my father had a temper. So did mine. Couldn't get much shorter fuse than he had. Boop! You know, say, well, my mother, the reason I am the way I am, yeah, is my mother was stubborn. She had a dominating spirit. That's your first birth. Amen. Your new birth gives you the nature of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' time, what was the difference between the Pharisees and the woman at the well? The priests looked clean on the outside. Outwardly, they were holy. Amen. The woman at the well, dirty, filthy outwardly, immoral. But she had representation in heaven, the prophet said. She had a name on the family album. Hallelujah. And when the light of the hour crossed her pathway, all her darkness turned to light. Hallelujah. I'm sure she didn't go back living with that sixth man. Yes? All of her darkness turned to light, and when the same light that's come across her pathway crossed the priest and the Pharisees' path, all their light turned to darkness. They saw the same sign. Is that true? The Pharisees said, that's Beelzebub. That's the devil. The woman at the well said, you must be a prophet. You must be a prophet. We know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us these things. I am he. She left her water buckets and ran into the streets of the city. Come see a man that's told me all that I ever did. All he told her was how many husbands she had, but she knew that he was able to uncover everything. Amen. Isn't this the Christ? Isn't this Christ, the anointed word of our day? The priests, you see, they only had intellectual learnings. This message has to come to the heart. It's more than just learning the doctrines. The priests only had intellectual learnings, rules, laws, outward holiness. The word made flesh manifested what seed they were of. There's a whole message there, but I'm going to skip that. God knows them that are his. The woman at the well, she had something in her that could be quickened. Remember, we read the rest of them didn't come from there. She had something in there that could be quickened. You know what we often do when we look for converts? We wait till we see somebody that says, oh, there's a woman with a dress on, I'll talk to her. There's a woman's got long hair, maybe I'll talk to her. Why don't we talk to somebody that doesn't look like a believer? Yeah. She had something in her that could be quickened. Here's a quote that has got me in trouble in America one time preaching. Smyrna Church Age. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason that we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. That doesn't mean they won't be religious. They could be religious as ever. But there's nothing in there to quicken. Hallelujah. The prophet said a son of God could go a long time sometimes before he recognizes that he is a son. Just like the woman at the well. She was one of God's children, an attribute of God, name on the family album. But it took the word made flesh for her day to quicken that seed that was in her. And what did that do? That caused her to recognize who she really was. She's a daughter of God. And it was only this. You see, the Holy Ghost, I'm going to make a statement here. The Holy Ghost never made you a son. Read Galatians. Because we were sons, he sent forth the Holy Spirit upon us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It just quickened what was already on the inside of you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, it's the same thing today. Regardless of how immoral we might have been, living in sin, or whether you were living in going to a holiness church, when the light of this message crossed our pathway, it quickened that seed that lay inside of us and caused us to recognize who we are. Just like that boy that had never seen himself in the mirror. You heard that Brother Bam tells it many times. These simple little illustrations. He's walking up the steps, and all of a sudden he sees his reflection. He thinks it's another boy. He scratches his head, and the little boy scratches his head. He makes a face, the little boy makes a face. Finally, it dawns on him. Mama, that's me. That's what we are preaching this way in this convention about. So you'll finally recognize, hey, that's me they're talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham talks about that in communion in 1965. I think it was probably one of his last messages. He says, now one day I was walking on, the boys talked, never drink, smoke. You know how that defiles your body in any way. And I got older, there was something moving, but yet all at once I looked up and I said, I am not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. He wasn't ashamed of his natural tree here. God had just showed him who he really was. I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There's something calling me, like my eagle story. I'm not a chicken. There's something up yonder. Oh, great Jehovah, wherever you are, open up. I want to come home. There's something in me calling. Then I was born again, and that life was laying there. The water of life was poured upon it. Then it began to grow. Now that old life was forgiven, put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me anymore. We stand there justified, never sinned in the presence of God. put in the sea of his forgetfulness. We've already heard about that, but I want to just emphasize it again. How many know Sidney Jackson or knew about Sidney Jackson? You South Africans, brothers, should know him. Sidney Jackson, he used to preach that. I'm hearing him preach in Edmonton. And he said, God put my sins in the sea of his forgetfulness and put up a sign, no fishing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you recognize who you are, when you recognize who you are, amen, it loosens Satan's grip. Like this morning, I believe there was chains broken during the preaching of the word. Demons scattered. When the anointed of God preached the word, demons scattered. And so when you recognize who you are, it loosens Satan's grip on you and kills that old nature that you were born with and gives you a new nature. A new nature, if you are, which Brother Brown said, if you are born again, the nature of your soul is God. That's deity, tabernacling in human flesh. The greatest evidence that I know that you are a part of God, a son of God, one of his, and that your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world is the fact that you have recognized the word for your name. Die to the world. Recognize the word for your day. Die to the world. Become part of God's word. The word made flesh today. Then Brother Branham says this in Future Home. That's what we were talking about the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word. Not some system. To be the bride, you have to be part of him. He is the word. Are you going to give me another 10 minutes? You have to be part of him. He is the word. And what part of him is it? The word that's promised for the day when he calls his bride. You are part of that. The Methodist said when you shout, you got it. Lots of them shouted and didn't have it. The Pentecostal said when you speak in tongues, you've got it. Many of them spoke in tongues and didn't have it. Look at all these forms these Pharisees had. But when the word was made manifest, they did not recognize it. And if you are the bride, how many bride members? If you are the bride is part of the husband. Amen. The only place that you'll ever recognize it is to recognize what part of that husband, that word, you are. Hallelujah. Or you can't recognize being the bride. You've got to recognize what part of the word you are, or you can't recognize being the bride. You cannot be part of Luther's day. That part is made up. How many believe that those believers that saw Luther's message will be in that rapture? Absolutely. But we can't be part of Luther's day. That part's been made up. We can't be part of Wesley's day. That part's been made up. Neither can we be part of the Pentecostal move. That part's already completed. Pentecost was the tongue. Amen. The eyes were Malachi 4. Luke 17:30. But there is no moving faculties above the eye. Next is the intelligence. The brain, we are in the mind age. The bride has to die to our own thinking and receive the mind of Christ. And if you receive the mind of Christ, you cannot receive the mind of Christ without receiving the word of Christ. Is there a way, Brother Branham? This is in Future Home, these last three quotes. Is there a way, Brother Branham? Yes. Become part of the word. A part of his word today. You can't be part of Moses' day. That part's done made up. That was the feet. We are at the head now. A lot of people don't even believe in the headstone coming down. The capstone. He says, we're at the head now. This is Christ, not the arms back there in Luther. This is head time. Christ, the headstone, comes to the body. Hallelujah. When the woman at the well recognized the word for her day, it redeemed her. It cleansed her. It made her part of the body for that day. It's the same thing today. It's exactly the same thing today. Recognizing what part of the word is being fulfilled makes us recognize who we are. And it loosens Satan's grip from our lives and redeems us and causes us to receive his headship, the headstone that has come down, and makes us a part of Christ the bridegroom, which gives us access to every redemptive blessing that's in the book. Hallelujah. In this message is salvation. In this message is healing. In this message is deliverance. In this message is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In this, we are sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of our redemption. In this message is the body change. Repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is part of the plan of redemption. Receiving the Holy Ghost is part of the plan of redemption. Healing is part of the plan of redemption. Brother Branham said, if there's no divine healing, there's no resurrection, there's no rapture, the body change, how many believe that that is part of the plan of redemption? The body change is part of the plan of redemption. Adoption and placing is part of the plan of redemption. We are in the time of adoption right now. Amen. I wished I had time to preach, but a voice to preach, but because I'm sure you'd give me a little more time. But I really don't have much more energy. I am, after all, 25 years old. The second time plus. Amen. We are now at the time of adoption. Like Rahab, she came in. She intersected with Israel in the third stage of the journey. She came in at the time of adoption when Israel was receiving their placing under the Joshua Commission. Amen. And she recognized what God was doing. Amen. And she received the spies, which Brother Bram said, the messengers. Amen. She received them and went and she displayed the token. And when the walls came crumbling down, everything falling around her, her house was not destroyed. Amen. She was safe under the token, and her family and her and her family were saved. But the truth of it is, that was not the final stage of her redemption. Amen. The final stage of her redemption was her marriage to Salmon, the general in Israel. Hallelujah. When the walls came crumbling down and her house slithered to the ground without a shingle being moved. Amen. When the dust settled, here stood a general. A general by the name of Salmon, a general in the army of Israel, and her final stage of her adoption was her marriage to Salmon and receiving his seed. Hallelujah. That placed her in the promised land. Becoming one with Salmon brought her into the covenant. Hallelujah. Her marriage to Salmon changed her status forever. She was known as Rahab the harlot. But that changed her. When she married Salmon, no matter what harlot system you were part of, your marriage to our general in the army, Christ, changes your status forever. It changed her status forever. When she walked tippy-toed down the streets of Bethlehem, nobody said, there goes the harlot, Rahab the harlot. They said, there goes Madame Salmon. Hallelujah. It changed her status forever. Hallelujah. Becoming one with Christ, becoming part of the bridegroom, coming into union, into marriage relationship, is part of the plan of redemption. Receiving his seed, Being pregnated with further part of the Word is a part of the plan of redemption, becoming one with the Word for our day. Brother Branham said, that's back home when I do that, that's the sign the musicians can come. Brother Branham said, you become the Word as you receive the Word. Oh, I wish I had some time to preach about Rahab. But I think I preached about that here years ago. Hallelujah. Part of her adoption, her placing, the final stage, just like ours. Amen. Is not just receiving, you know, the word, but receiving the seed word into us, becoming pregnated by the very word of God for this day. Brother Brown said, you become the word in perfect faith. You become the word as you receive the word. I personally believe that the bride is beginning to recognize who she really is. Hallelujah. We sing the song, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one. Though these people may not learn of me, though these people may not learn of me, or boast unworldly, oh, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in and are telling now, far and wide his power is yet the same. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother. Come, my brother. See.